Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Father, at this part of the service, Lord, and we're asking God for your anointing. We're asking for your guidance, dear God. Lord, to the anointing not only to be on the mouth of the speaker, but Lord, upon the ears of the hearer, Lord. And Lord, we ask God that you'll speak to us in a special way today, Father. Lord, to be a help to every individual, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 26, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 7. Thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be covered upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6 curtains in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edges of one curtain that is the outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass and put the tatches into the loops. Now the tatches, that word means hooks. And couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And 1 cubit on the one side and 1 cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tents shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle and on this side and on that side and to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tents of ram skins dyed red and a covering above of badger skins. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Numbers. Now, we know that from reading and from the study in the scriptures on the tabernacle, that the whole most holy place, there was a curtain or a veil that went from, there's 3 parts to the tabernacle. There's the outer congregation part where they first walked in. Then there was the holy place where the shewbread was and where the candlesticks were and that. And then there was the most holy place. And in the most holy place was where the Ark of the Covenant was that held the testimony of the Lord and the commandments. And in the mercy seat was there. And that represented where God said he would meet them at. And that holies of holies, the curtain that separated it from the rest was made of badger skins. Now, in Numbers chapter 4, we'll begin reading verse 4. Not only did they have that curtain of badger skins that separated the most holy place or where the Ark of the Covenant was kept from the rest of the tabernacle, but whenever they moved the tabernacle, they had to take everything down. And the sons of Kohath were the ones that were tasked with carrying everything of the tabernacle, but they couldn't touch any of the instruments or any that was used in the ministry or whatever. The sons of Aaron had to take, and this is what this is talking about, the sons of Aaron had to take and prepare all this so that they could move it. But even when they went to move it, we're going to see what they covered everything with. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle congregation about the most holy things. When the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread it over a cloth holy of blue, and shall put it in the staves thereof. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons and the bowls and the covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon, and they shall spread on them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put it in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, all the vessels thereof, within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with the covering of badger skins, and shall put the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of the ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with the covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put it in, upon it all the vessels thereof wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, and all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to it the staves of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. You may be seated. Now, when you study on the tabernacle in the wilderness and how it was made, you find all these coverings of white and coverings of scarlet and coverings of blue and tents and curtains and all these things, and the outer curtain that covered that hid the entire tabernacle was made of white. And each of these actually have a symbology of why that God commanded Moses to have these particular colors and why to have these particular things. But what I want to focus on this morning is what hid the most holy place. And what hid the most holy place was badger skins. Everything else was purple and scarlet and blue and white. But the thing that hid the most valuable thing of the tabernacle was old badger skins. And what I want to title this is hid behind badger skins. And I don't know how many parts this is going to take, but it'll take me a while to get to all this. But hid behind badger skins. And when they moved all this and they covered it over with all these different cloths and everything else, then the final covering that was put over it for them to move it and carry it was again badger skins. Now, why was it? All these things had symbology, so what was the symbology behind badger skins? I looked up about badgers as animals, and they stink. They have a gland very similar to like a skunk, except they can't spray quite as far as a skunk. But they stink. They don't have good eyesight. But they can hear things. And they hear very well. And they can smell real good. And they're cantankerous. They're ill-tempered animals. They get along sometimes okay with one another okay, but other animals and other things, they don't so much. And they're ill-tempered. And so why would God have this to hide the word of God, which is what the Ark of the Covenant was representing, was the word of God, God himself. So why would he have something cantankerous, ill-tempered, something that stunk to hide the most valuable thing of the tabernacle? It was because the badger skins represented humanity. Humanity stinks. A lot of times they don't have good spiritual sight. But boy, can they hear things. And humanity a lot of times is cantankerous and ill-tempered. And there's no beauty to it at all. There was beauty to all the other things, but there was no beauty to the badger skins to desire it. And when the scripture spoke of the coming of the word in flesh, it said that there would be no beauty whereof they would desire him. And when Christ walked here on the earth, there was no beauty in him that would have people to desire him. And hid inside of this flesh, humanity, that we know as Jesus, was Jehovah God. But the priests couldn't see Jehovah. And the people of that day couldn't see Jehovah because God had hid it in human flesh. Jesus' flesh wasn't perfect. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was found without fault. But his flesh was still under the curse. It got old. It got tired. It got hungry. It was dying. That's what getting old is. It's a slow death. Brother Branham says here in the unveiling of God, said he was hid behind the veil. He was behind what was behind the skin veil. It was badger skins behind the veil. And the veil of the most holy place was rent on the day of Jesus' death. It rent in twain, exposing the most holy place. Why was that? Brother Branham says, now, the Jews could not understand how God could have mercy upon a sinful, foul people like us. Gentiles. How could God have mercy on a sinful, foul people? But they couldn't see this one who was given the mercy because he was hid. He was hid with badger skins hanging down covering him. In other words, flesh hid him so they couldn't see who it was. God has always hid himself behind a veil. When God came down and spoke to the people through a prophet, he was hiding himself in the veil, the flesh of the prophets. When he came and spoke through Moses, he told Moses, says, you be God and let Aaron be your prophet. In other words, you're in the place of me, Moses. I'm going to be speaking through you. So it was God hid in the flesh of Moses. All of this pointing to a type of the coming of Christ. Later, veiled behind badger skins. Why did God veil him? To hide himself from the public. He was hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Isn't that what the word says? He hid his word from the eyes of the wise and prudent. How did he hide it? In stinking flesh. That's how he hid it. He was veiled in human flesh. Moses with the word speaking what was to be later. This is the unveiling of God. Put upon behind badger skin. He was God veiled in human flesh. Veiled in humanity in flesh. That's right. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was veiled by badger skin. He was veiled, and this time he was veiled in a man. Notice, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Promised his word to this age, he's still Christ. The promised word to this age, veiled in human flesh. Now, not just in the flesh of Brother Branham, because Brother Branham's gone. He has left the scene. He played out his part. And now he's left the scene. But Christ was the one he introduced. And Christ has not left the scene. He's still here veiled in flesh. He's still veiled in humanity of his bride. That was one of the purposes that God had, was to veil himself in his bride. Amen. And notice the veil in human flesh. The promised word to this age must be veiled. Notice, sin-loving church members and sinners can't see it because of the human veil. They can't see God in you, because what they look and see in you, they look and see a person, a human. They see your flesh, which your flesh is faulty. Your flesh is full of faults. Your flesh makes mistakes. So they can't see what, why would God hide himself inside a person like me and you? Why would he choose that? People who make mistakes, people who have faults and flaws. Because that was his purpose all along. It was his part, his plan of redemption. He had to first come and redeem the soul of man. And that's the part of you that's living redeemed right now is your soul. Your flesh is still in an unredeemed state. It still gets old. It still feels pain. It still gets sick. It still gets hungry. It still gets tired. It still makes mistakes. Your flesh can even desire things of the world. But that soul has been changed. A life has come alive inside of you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why I don't get discouraged by your mistakes. Now, one thing that a question that I find most common amongst people is, how do I know if I've got the Holy Ghost? And you know, we know that we can't leave here without it. We know we aren't going to go in the rapture without the Holy Ghost. And we're, as humans, we're always looking for something that we can latch on to as an evidence or proof that we got it, so that we can say, I know I got it. But the evidences and proofs many times we look at all deal with the flesh. And all deal with the spirit, the emotions, and so on. We want some kind of fleshly thing to identify for us that we've got it. Your flesh is never going to identify that you've got the Holy Ghost, because it's badger skins. And in the same token, the mistakes of your flesh are no sign that you don't have it. Your flesh forgets things.
That's right.
Realize there's five gates in your flesh, five gates in your spirit. And one of the gates in your spirit is memory. How is it that we can never hardly forget the bad things we've done? But it's hard for us to remember the good things. It's because Satan can work in that realm. And Satan constantly points out to you your failures. He constantly wants to point out to you your past sin. And constantly point out to you your flesh. Because it's not perfect. And it's, friends, look, in this life, your flesh ain't ever going to be perfect. That part don't get perfected until the complete redemption of the body, which is the body change. In the meantime, you're deity walking around in badger skins. The prophets, Brother Ram says this in the unveiling of God. It was done in every age. Deity veiled in human flesh. The prophets was deity veiled. They was the word of God veiled in human flesh. Notice, veiled behind the old badger skins in the old temple. And the word was the word manifested on the tables of stone. Behind the old temple in the veil that was back behind there was Jehovah. What was hid back there? What was the veil hiding? Oh, hallelujah. What was the veil hiding? It was hiding the word. The veil, old badger skins, was hiding the word to the eyes of the natural. Behind there also was a shewbread, and behind there was a Shekinah glory. But it was all hid from them. It was all hid. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin. That's right, all hid to the natural eye. And it is today, too. It's called a bunch of holy rollers and fanatics. But they don't know what's hid behind there. That's what they don't know. Same now, the glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer. Now I mean the real believer that calls the works of God and the faith to come into him, to believe the word of God. That's all hid to them eyes. The eyes of the world can't see that. But what has happened on the inside of you is something has changed. This outward man is still the same man or woman that they always were. But something on the inside has changed. That change on the inside caused you to want to serve God. It caused you to begin to feed on the word of God. Now look, I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf. I'm not talking about growing in morals. Becoming a better citizen. That's not what I'm talking about. Brother Branham says this. He says the old mule could outwork the thoroughbred horse any day. But he didn't know who his daddy was.
Amen.
But that thoroughbred knows who his daddy is. And when that something got awakened in you, then you knew, like Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I'm the son of God. I'm not the son of James and Patricia Browning. I'm the son of God. I come from God and I return back to God. Something eternal became alive on the inside. Did it stop me from making mistakes? No. Because, like Brother Branham said, your flesh never got the Holy Ghost. Your spirit didn't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what you get in your soul. The man down in the engine room is what controls the ship. Brother Branham said, what controls you is not this head. It's the man down in here. The one that's down in the soul. Many times people start out, and you know there's three steps. You know, there's Brother Branham brings out, there was a trinity in everything to do with God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me just look this, because I want to, sometimes it has me jump out of order. Here it is, questions and answers on Genesis. Jesus was Jehovah, unveiled in flesh, come down, unveiled. Now, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not like your finger, one, like some people thinks. The whole things. There's a Trinity in one. I'm a Trinity in one. I'm soul, body, spirit in one person. I'm made up of cells and blood and nerves, yet all one being. Everything you look at is a Trinity in one. There was a Trinity in the ark. The bottom floor, creeping things. The second floor for the fowls, the flying things. And the third floor was Noah and his family. Everything in the tabernacle, there was a congregation. Then there was the holy place. Then there was the holiest of holies. And there was three dispensations. The fatherhood, which was how that God was identifying himself in the Old Testament and revealing himself to Israel then, was in fatherhood. And then he came in Jesus Christ and revealed himself in the sonship. And then after that, he's come in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit and is identifying himself as the Holy Spirit housed inside of the believer. This is in the unveiling of God. Notice, the old veil hid the glory, the old badger skin. There was no beauty to be desired of it, neither was in his flesh. That's the reason people said a little old stooped shoulder over fellow like that, probably 30 years old, gray, and his beard was gray and wasn't much to look at. There was no beauty, the Bible said, that we should desire him. He didn't look like a king, the old badger skin. But what was on the inside? That little bunch of holy rollers sitting together in a hot building like this, they call them not much beauty to be desired, but what's on the inside? I'm sure it's veiled from many hearts, you see. Outwardly, it's nothing, but all was on the inside. So many times the things that we look at to try to assure ourselves we have the Holy Ghost, we want something that like this desk that we can touch, something that's tangible. Many people would say, well, it's because they spoke in tongues. And there was people that would link it to something they experienced or something they felt. They felt a warm feeling come flowing down all over them. Anybody could feel that. They felt a chill go up their spine. That don't mean nothing. There's a lot of people that has that. There's people that believe that speaking in tongues, and I know you don't, but there's people that believe that speaking in tongues is initial evidence. And they'll look at people that spoke in tongues, and then that person goes out and turns their back on the word and lives like the world and lives like a devil and never shows their face back up again. And they say, well, they lost the Holy Ghost. The thing is, the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed into the day of redemption. Now, I said the soul was already redeemed, but what we're waiting on is the redemption of the body. And what that scripture in Ephesians 4:30 is telling you is that soul has been sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day that the body catches up with it and becomes redeemed as well. But you can grieve the Holy Ghost. And just because you grieve him doesn't mean you don't have him. If you can grieve him, that's all the more assurance you've got him. Because you couldn't grieve something you didn't have. Person can't lose the Holy Ghost. That's why speaking in tongues and these outward signs and all that, they can't be the evidence. Because a lot of people can have those things as evidence and then show up later. What shows up? What we like we preached last Sunday. What shows it up? The works. Jesus said, if you don't believe me for the works' sake. See, the works that he did. The works that he did showed what was hid on the inside of that old badger skin. I'm not talking about good deeds. I'm talking about works that speak that it had to be God. I'm not talking about good deeds and taking up for the poor and doing things like that and food drives and clothes drives and all these things. I'm not talking about good deeds. I remember when about almost 20 years ago, we were looking to build out there where we live now, and it was raining, and it was in the month of August and September during that time era, and it was just raining and raining and raining and raining and raining. There was no way they were going to be able to get out there and dig and lay down a foundation for us. So I was laying in bed and could hear the rain hitting on the trailer we were living in. And I began to pray. And I said, Lord, send this rain away and let it dry up so they can pour that foundation. I'm going to tell you something, friends. God cares. That's scriptural. Brother Branham preached a message called, He Cares to You. God cares about you. And the rain stopped and it dried up. And that was 20 some years ago. You said, well, if you'd just been patient, eventually the rain would have went away. Well, I believe that if Brother Branham could speak to a storm, as a son of God, I believe that I could pray as a son of God and ask God to take the storm away. I believe, friends, we can speak the word. Jesus said, no one can do these works, because they came and they said, Jesus, they told him, the disciples, there's people out here that are healing in your name. But yet they're not following you. They're not with us. And Jesus said, no one can do works like that in my name and speak evil of me. Leave them alone.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Earthen vessels. Paul speaks about it in the New Testament. That he was to, he referred to us as those earthen vessels. Now, not vessels of gold, not vessels of silver, not vessels of precious metals or precious stone, clay. Something that breaks easy, something that's fragile, something that doesn't have any beauty to it, earthen vessels. And he said, I'm going to write my laws upon your heart. In other words, the word itself is going to be dwelling inside of you. Friends, look, having the Holy Ghost is having the word, the very word, God himself, embodied in tabernacle inside of you. And what else is inside that holies of holies? Because that's what we're talking about here, speaking about the soul.
That's right.
What else was inside there that where it hid the word? The Shekinah glory.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this in the Unveiling of God. The Shekinah glory ripens the seed that's promised for the hour of the word. It brings forth that seed. That seed can't grow unless you get the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen. Don't look for, you know, I've talked to people over the years and I've had people think that once they got the Holy Ghost, well, then they wouldn't have any more temptation. You're still going to have temptation because you're still in this old badger skin. And this old badger skin, it has a hard time sometimes seeing God, but boy, it can see everything else in this world. Sometimes this old badger skin has trouble seeing the devil, but it can see all the things of the devil. Sometimes it has trouble identifying that's of the devil.
That's right.
But this man down inside here doesn't. This man out here can still remember what drink tastes like.
That's right.
Can still remember what alcohol tastes like. It can still remember the effects of everything else of the world that it ever experienced. But this man down inside here says, I don't want that. See, what I was going to say earlier was a lot of people, they start out and there's a trinity, as I was saying. And there is justification. That's being called. Then there's sanctification, which is a cleaning up of the vessel. And then there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people come and they get the call. And they come. And they lift up their hand and they go into baptism. And then there's a work. All of these are works of the Holy Ghost. But then it starts to clean up the vessel. They stop doing the things they used to do. And it starts cleaning up the vessel. But then they come short of actually getting the Holy Ghost, which is the typos.
Amen, brother.
I knew this was just going to blossom. I knew why it was going to. I just titled it part one, even though I don't even have part two and three or whatever else yet. Brother Branham says this. He called the Holy Ghost a typos.
And he said, if a man doesn't have it, he said, even a preacher.
Amen.
If a preacher doesn't have that typos, he ain't got nothing to hold him. He said, if a preacher sees some sexy dressed woman walking across on the other side of the street, if he don't have the typos, there's something in him that'll want to go make a date with her.
Yes.
And if he don't got the typos, he's got nothing to hold him from doing it. But if he's got the typos, he won't do it. No matter what his flesh desires, no matter what his flesh tells him, no matter how his flesh feels.
Amen.
Because he's got the tie post on the inside.
Amen.
But now this flesh, it'll forget to pray sometimes.
Amen.
This old flesh will get hungry, and you'll sit down, and before you know it, you eat, and you're thinking, my goodness, I didn't even ask God to bless the food. That's because it's badger skin.
That's right.
That's because it's human memory.
That's right.
It can remember all the evil things you've done, but sometimes it can't remember to pray.
Amen.
When things start to come on you and you start to get burdened down and you start to get upset, the thing you don't remember is, I should pray.
Amen.
How am I going to relieve this pressure? Pray. Prayer changes things. What am I going to do about my loved one? What am I going to do about my wife? What am I going to do about my husband? Prayer changes things. But you've got to believe in what you ask for. And if you believe it, you can have what you desire. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Friends, look. Many times we look around and we see somebody's old flesh. And we see the things they're doing, and we want to give up on them.
Exactly.
I'm glad God don't give up.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
But he don't play games either.
No, he does not. Amen.
God don't play around.
No, he does not. Amen.
God will call out sin.
Amen.
God will call out evil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes people want to play games with God. I want to repent. No, I don't. I want to repent. No, I don't. I want to go to church. No, I don't. I want to go to church. No, I don't. I want to serve God. No, I don't. God don't play games. I'll go to church for 5 years, and then I'll backslide for five, and then I'll come back to church for five, and then I'll backslide for 10, then I'll come back to church for five more. God don't play games. Many of y'all remember when I was going through my nervous times of mental depression and different things and that, and you wanted your old pastor back. Well, you got him. God don't play games. God will call the devil out. The Shekinah glory was back there and it ripened the seed. If the seed inside you has been ripening, that's a sure sign that the Shekinah glory is there.
Amen.
See, God gives you an evidence, but it's something that is eternal. It's not something that don't make it on this fella and don't make it on that girl and don't make it on this boy and but makes it on you. No. God is sure. He is certain. The Shekinah glory manifests him. It brings forth the word of the promise right out of you. The Shekinah glory is bringing the word right out of you. Right out in you. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Badger skin.
That's right.
You don't look in the mirror and see God. You look in the mirror and you see badger skin. Now, you've got to look in God's mirror, which is his word. Remember when they had a prophecy in the Old Testament, they would bring them before the vest of Aaron. And on the vest of Aaron were these stones. And there were 12 stones. And it was called the Urim and Thummim. And they would bring them before that. When it spoke, if it was of God, it flashed on those stones. That Urim and Thummim today is God's word. It has to flash on his word. And what's on the inside of you, it does flash on the word. What is it? It's the word speaking to the word. It's a deep calling to the deep. And there was a deep to respond. He was veiled in Moses, and even when Moses would come and speak, he would veil his face because in him was the word. He veiled Jesus as a humble little man to keep them from seeing Jehovah. Amen. Yet, when Nathanael came, and Jesus said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi, when did you know me? How do you know I don't have any guile in me? When did you ever know me, Rabbi? This is the first time I've ever seen you before in my life." And he said, "Before Philip called you, when you were sitting under that fig tree, I saw you." Now, Nathanael didn't say, "Well, boy, you must be a devil. You must be Beelzebub. You must be a fortune teller." He said, "No, truly thou art the Son of God. Amen. Truly you are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Because I said I saw you under a fig tree, greater than this you're going to see." Hallelujah. The priest down at the temple, they couldn't see Jehovah because he was hid in badger skin. But when he went down to that ill-famed woman down at the well, and he said, "Woman, give me a drink." And she said, "It's not customary for a Jew to ask Samaritans such things, even talk to them." Notice, the pure damsels had already come up to the well and left. This was a time when the ill-famed could come up to the well. Jesus didn't go down there those when there was the ones that were claiming to be pure. He went down there and he said, "I have a need to go by there." Why? Because there was a seed of God there. And when that word spoke, it awoke something inside of her. And she didn't say, "You're a fortune teller." He said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I have none." He said, "You've spoken well because you've had five and the man you're living with now is not your husband." And she said, "We know that when the Messiah comes, he'll do these things." She was a Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile. They were looked on as dogs by the Jews. Jesus didn't look on that way. Why? Because Jesus wasn't looking at her badger skin. Jesus was looking down on the inside of there and he saw a seed that needed to be quickened. And it was quickened. And she ran through the town and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Is this not the Christ? Hallelujah. He veiled Jesus as a humble little man to keep them from seeing Jehovah. And he veiled himself today in earthen vessels with the Shekinah. The outside looks like a bunch of holy rollers, old badger skin, but on the inside hides the Shekinah glory. And it ripens what we feast on. And drive across the country for hundreds of miles. And it's believer's food. It's only for a believer. Remember, the shewbread was only for the believer only, see? Shewbread seed. What does it do? The Shekinah glory over the shewbread kept it from spoiling. The shewbread was the original, the manna that fell on the first day. They took from the original manna that fell on the first day. They put it in a pot and they set that in the holies of holies. And the Shekinah glory that was in there kept that manna from rotting, from spoiling. But now the manna that was on the outside, they said they weren't to keep it from one day to the next because it would get worms. So they were to collect new every day. But on the inside, they had it from the first day. This is a message of the oddball. Listen, the word that we preach, the word that I said this morning, God hiding behind skins, badger skins, God hiding behind the skin of a man. This identified Christ of all ages. In the Old Testament, there was badger skins that hid God. And he was in, the Shekinah glory was behind the badger skins. The word was in Moses, the prophet. He went up into the mountain and he met the pillar of fire and it spoke to him. He went down and performed the signs of the prophet and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to this mountain. And then God come down and identified Moses by bringing him into the pillar of fire and veiling him. No one else could go. Not any person could try to impersonate that. Could not do it. They would die. Taking one man, he went behind there in the pillar of fire and the glory of God and into the Shekinah glory. And when he came out with the word for that age, he was so shining with the glory of God till he had to veil his face. And the people could not steadfast look upon him. That was the natural veil. What is it? When a man breaks through that veil into Shekinah glory, now the world calls him a fanatic. They can't see what's wrong, but they can't see what's behind there. There is no beauty in him. He might not pronounce his words right. He might not dress just right. He might not dress in clergy's clothes. She might not dress the way they think she ought to. It might be, but you see inside behind that badger skin, behind that human skin, in there is the Shekinah glory. In there is the power. In there is the word. In there is the shewbread. And the Shekinah glory, which is the light, that makes the light, that ripens the grain. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, one day this outside's going to catch up with the inside. I don't know about you, but I get tired of dealing with this old badger skin sometimes. I get tired of dealing with this human spirit that I have. I get tired of dealing with my thoughts, with my memory. You know, my memory of all the sin and corruption and every mistake I ever made. I get tired of dealing with that. I get tired of fighting. I'm looking forward to the day when the devil will be bound with a chain of circumstance. And that chain of circumstance will be, friends, that you and I will be standing in a glorified body. Hallelujah. That glorified body, it won't even remember those old things that you used to do. Now, when you go into the millennium, you're going to remember you lived in this life, because that's one of the things the millennium is about. But you're not going to have to be tormented by the memory of all the bad things you've done. Hallelujah. Oh my. This is the mighty God unveiled before us. 1964. Back in the days of the Old Testament, we find he appeared to his people in different forms. He veiled himself behind old badger skins. God hiding behind badger skins. And at his mercy seat. And we find that how that Solomon, when he dedicated the temple of the Lord, these badger skins was hanging there. Think about that. Solomon, David had a desire. Why should the Lord live in tents while I live in a beautiful house? I have a desire to build a house for God. But God wouldn't let David do it, but he did give David all the plans for it. And David had all the plans laid out, how it should be built, what materials they should use, and how it should be made and everything. He said, I'll not let you do it because you got blood on your hands, but I'll let your son do it. And so Solomon did it. And Solomon, when he laid it, friends, that temple was beautiful. That old tabernacle in the wilderness couldn't hold a candle to it. But even in all that beauty, the cedar and all the different woods of Lebanon and all these different things and all that beauty, they still had that old badger skin hiding the word. Hallelujah. He came in a pillar of fire and as a cloud and went down behind that curtain and veiled himself to the outside world. Now listen to this, and I'm going to close. But by faith, Israel knew that he was back there. They knew he was there regardless of what any of the heathen worlds had to say. He was hid from the unbeliever, but the believer by faith knew he was back there, which was the great secret. How do you know he's in there? By faith. The world can't see him. But friends, the world didn't give him to me, and the world can't take him away. By faith, I know he's in there. You say, now hold on, Brother Jared. Now, I don't want to just hope he's in there and then come down at the end and find out I was wrong. So how can you say by faith you know he's in there? Because of the works he's doing in my heart. Not because of the works that I do, but because of the works he's doing in my soul. Let's stand. I just have to close. I looked at the time, and when I've got something this rich and this much, I know there's no way I'll get to it all in one service, so I don't even try. And I've been preaching to you about everything I know. I've been drawing from things from all over the place today. And it's just the Holy Spirit the way he does. You know, he says, I'll bring back to you remembrance, and he does. He brings back things that I read 25 or more years ago. You know, and he does that. Hey, man, I can't do that on my own. He does that. Hallelujah. And so I know we got more on what we can get to and what, you know, there was a brother years ago, he's passed away now. I'll say his name, but many of you might not know him, but some might have heard of him. Brother Phil probably heard of him, but Brother Joseph Hankins. And Brother Hankins used to say, he said, the mind can only contain what the seat can endure. And so he never preached real long.
And so, you know, I know you can only take so much at one time. But if you can grasp onto anything today, grasp onto this. Amen. You know he's in there by faith. Israel knew he was behind there because he done the works. They saw the pillar of fire go down in there. They knew he was in the mountain. He said they weren't even allowed to touch the mountain lest they would die. But then he left the mountain and he came down and he dwelt in the holiest of holies. They weren't allowed to go back there, but they knew he was there. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is so beautiful. Lord, the revelation of your word is so beautiful. This old badger skin and even the skin that you walked in flesh when you were here, Lord, there was no beauty in it to be desired. But the revelation of your word is beautiful. And Lord, we thank you for it this morning. And I pray your blessings on the people, dear God. And I pray, dear God, you knowing the needs of each and every individual here, dear God. And I pray, God, you'll meet their needs. I pray you'll meet their desires. I pray, God, you'll answer their prayers. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God. Amen.